Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer. When the board of the National Association of Black Journalists announced it would split from the Unity Journalists of Color Coalition last April, it was national news, not so much because of the association's decision to end its alliance with the three-year minority journalist groups after nearly 20 years, but more because of the larger backdrop. The news came as the number of minorities in newsrooms across the country had declined for the third consecutive year. Then, just last week at their national convention in Philadelphia, the membership of NABJ voted to enter into discussions about resurrecting its coalition with Unity. The larger context remains unchanged, a dearth of diversity in American newsrooms. Here to discuss that context with us, we have a couple of wonderful guests, and we're going to talk about whether it matters, and if it does, why it does. First, I'm joined by Dori Maynard. She is, of course, the president of the Robert C. Maynard Institute for Journalism. Dori, welcome to WNYC.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's begin with you, and I want to ask you first why we should care at all about this topic, especially if one is not a journalist, a member of a journalistic organization, an editor, a reporter, or someone who works for some news organization. Isn't this a whole lot of inside baseball?
No, this is the story of our country, because the stories we tell ourselves often determine the actions that we take. And I don't think you need to go look any further than the polarization that we had on Capitol Hill during the debt ceiling debate to see how the lack of diversity in our newsrooms is playing out in our country, because the stories that we're telling about people of color and the most vulnerable are stories of pathology. And if we're telling stories about them at all. And the result is, I think, that the wider audience is turning its back on 33% of the country. So, no, it matters a great deal, from the personal to the political.
All right. And Dori Maynard, stand by. I want to bring into the conversation Bob Butler. He is the vice president of the National Association of Black Journalists. And I want to welcome you, Bob, to WNYC.
Good morning, Jamie. Good morning, Dori.
Good morning, Bob.
And Bob, let's talk briefly, because I don't want to get lost in the weeds, about, as I think many people covering the story have, about the NABJ Unity conversation, I want to call it. That was mostly about business, and it is mostly about business. And now Unity and NABJ are in conversations again about whether to come together. The larger concern is about diversity in newsrooms. Is that not right? Wasn't Unity originally formed in the 1990s to help increase the numbers in newsrooms across the United States and beyond?
That's not really true. Unity was formed in 94 to hold a convention every four or five years. Mm-hmm. That was its main goal. The advocacy work was really left to the different associations.
And which associations are there? Are those, to be perfectly clear to listeners who may not be familiar with it?
It's the National Association of Black Journalists, the National Association of Hispanic Journalists, the Asian American Journalists Association, and the Native American Journalists Association. Those are the four Unity partners.
And so the advocacy groups are supposed to be working on the issue of increasing our numbers, and the Unity was a conference.
Correct.
Journalists of Color is the full name.
Correct. It was an umbrella organization that's mission was to hold a conference every 4 years. Somewhere along the line, that began to change, and Unity has done some good work. Mm-hmm. But the business model for NABJ, you know, when the economy, when we got into the recession, all of our associations used to get these large checks from the media companies. And when the economy changed, we had to change our business models. And we were asking Unity to change its business model. It didn't want to, and we felt that it was just best for our organization and our members to go our separate ways. Now, having said that, this was never supposed to be a permanent thing. Mm-hmm. We said 2012, we're going to go ahead and hold our own convention, and then we can talk about how to change things for the better for all of us.
Would you agree, though, Bob, that the larger national story and the reason this became a story in the New York Times and other large national news organizations have reported on it, not because of the division between these two organizations, but because of the underlying story of the numbers of minorities, or I guess I should say lack thereof, in our nation's newsrooms?
Well, I think that's correct to a point. I mean, when you look at the mainstream media, and they were doing stories about, the black journalists are split from the Hispanic and the Asian and the Native American journalists. That was the framework of that story. What was lost in the coverage of that was we were basically being told, well, look, you guys are all minorities. You need to stay together for no matter whatever reason. And we don't care that your business model is not compatible with unity. You know, I mean, I look at the same thing when the New York Times sold part of the Boston Red Sox. I didn't get upset. It was a business decision. And it was the same thing. We made a business decision, but we were being told, look, well, because you guys are a minority, you can't make a decision like that. You have to stay together. And that's just not true.
I like that analogy very much. I want to invite our listeners, who are obviously news consumers, to participate in the conversation. How important is it to you that the newsrooms from which you consume your news be diverse, be it the stations you listen to, the papers or periodicals you read, or the television stations you watch, where perhaps you'd have the best sense, be diverse? 212-433-WMYC, 212-433-9692, or do you even care about racial, ethnic, gender, or other kinds of diversity behind the scenes? Diversity can be measured in many ways, or on the screen. There's age diversity. There's diversity that can be measured in many, many ways. Or do you only care about the end product, or do you even see a connection between the end product and the people who may be writing your stories or determining what those stories will be? That's 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. You can go to WMYC.org and post a comment if you prefer. Because, Dory, there are those who will say, and I've had this conversation many times, I don't know if they'll call. I hope they will, because we want all points of view. They will say, doesn't this lead to balkanization? There are listeners who will want me to ask you, and they're asking themselves as they listen at home, even if they won't call him, why do we need these ethnic organizations? Haven't we gotten past this? Why do we have to think about diversity and hiring in a news organization or a newsroom? Why do we have to think about black journalists, Hispanic journalists, and the like? Doesn't that just contribute to the problem? Dory, what would your answer be to that?
I would say it contributes to the understanding that we need as many points of view as possible in our newsrooms, helping to drive the news and drive what we consider the news. You know, I'm looking right now at the Daily Beast, and from what we understand, they do not have a great deal of diversity, and the only person of color besides the president on their front, on their homepage right now, is Urkelsback, 10 top link-thinking celebrities. That really doesn't tell you much about what's going on in the African-American community, the Latino community, the Native American community, or the Asian American community. We need to understand not only what's going on in our lives, but our neighbors' lives. As people used to say, a news organization needs to be a tool for community understanding, and it can't be that if only one perspective is being told. And in fact, I think Bob just did a story for our site that really illustrates the importance of having diversity on the in the newsrooms.
For the Maynard Institute.
Yes, in MIJE.org.
And I commend people to look at that. It is MIJE.org, and the J is for journalism. Also, we can look at the numbers. According to the American Society of News Editors, the number of professional journalists working in newsrooms across the United States increased from 41,500 in 2009 to 41,600 in 2010. But the numbers of journalists of color in newsrooms across the country has declined for the last 3 years from 5,500, that's 5,500, to 5,300. And that's at a time when the U.S. Census shows that minorities are 36% of the U.S. population. But my question then, Bob, is where is the real issue, the hurdle? Is it in print journalism? Is it online? Dory mentions the Daily Beast, which is the newest place for journalists to cut their teeth. Or is it in more traditional places like broadcast? I mentioned print, maybe cable. or dare I ask, radio, where are people of color having the hardest time getting a foothold in the world of journalism?
All of the above, basically. I mean, we have a specific study that looks at newsroom management, and the rationale is, okay, for television newsrooms, in order for you to be hired there, somebody has to hire you. And the person that decides who to hire, decides, you know, who to fire, decides the coverage, those are your newsroom managers. And so we look at the newsroom managers, and we just released a report last week of 74 stations owned by 5 companies. In all those stations, you've got roughly 40 people of color in management. Now, that's from the general manager down to the executive producer. You know, we released a study last year that looked at 151 stations. And when you look at all these, you put all the numbers together, you have roughly 12% of journalists of color are in these management positions. 12% in a country where you have 35-36% of the country being people of color. You know, the case in point, Dory mentioned the story about the Chicago TV station. Here's a station that aired video of a 4-year-old boy saying that he wanted a gun. This is in relation to a shooting in his neighborhood. And that's the video the station aired.
Bob? I'm going to interrupt you because I think we have that piece of tape. Let's play it and then have you comment on it. Are you okay with that, Bob?
Sure.
Okay, let's go with it. This is, as Bob was describing, from WBBM-TV. That's the CBS affiliate in Chicago. Take a listen to what you hear, and then Bob's going to explain to us what you have not heard.
No, I'm not scared of nothing.
When you get older, you're going to stay away from all these guns?
No.
No?
No.
What do you want to do when you get older?
I'm going to have me a gun.
Okay, the boy says, I'm going to have me a gun. Now, yeah, Bob Butler, tell us what...
The photographer followed up and said, what you going to do with a gun? And the boy says, I'm going to be the police. Which basically, the story was played in that here's a kid who's going to grow up to be a criminal, when in fact he wanted to help his community. That did not make it on the air.
The part about wanting to be a police officer was edited out.
Correct. Correct. And WBBM, which is it's owned by CBS... It's a CBS-owned and operated station. It's coming under huge amounts of fire from NAACP, from NABJ, from the Society of Professional Journalists. Everybody is throwing darts at BBM for doing this. The reality is there's not one person of color in management in that station that could have made a difference.
That might have flagged the egregiousness of that. All right, let's take a couple of calls from our concerned listeners on both sides, I hope, of this conversation. Let's hear from Lydia in Brooklyn. Lydia, you're on WNYC with Dory and Bob.
Hi there. I work for NBC Network in New York, and I wanted to say that I'm really gratified to see the bubbling numbers of minorities all around me as I've been there since 89. And I'm not saying that problem solved or anything, but I'm just saying that you can't hire people faster than they retire. And sure, we have a lot of white people there, and they're old, but we have a lot of young people. And these young people are from all walks of life, and there are clearly more minorities than not.
Is this behind the scenes or on the air, Lydia? And is it
behind
network or local?
It's absolutely behind the scenes. I don't work for local. I work for network. And so behind the scenes, that's MSNBC and Nightly News and Today Show. Behind the scenes, it's a real rainbow of young people. And, of course, you've got, you can't just, say, okay, I'm going to take 33% of the population is one particular minority and fire 33% of these people. You have to let them retire. And we do have an up-and-coming crop of brilliant young people from all over.
All right, Lydia, thank you. That's very encouraging. Of course, there are retention issues as well, but we hope that retention occurs in these places. Yes, Bob?
Every year we do our report, and NBC is consistently the number one performer when it comes to newsroom management, not just at their TV stations, but also at the network and also at MSNBC. We gave them an award last year for best practices. You know, there's only one area of MSNBC that I would say needs some help, and that's primetime diversity. But I know that NBC is working on that, and, you know, they have a lot of young people in the pipeline that are coming up. And eventually I expect them to be the first one to actually put somebody in primetime.
All right. And Dory Maynard, I'm so tight on time, but let me ask you where we go from here.
Well, I think we need to recognize that the media and the country are going in two different directions. As the country is getting browner, the media is getting whiter. We are losing the perspective that we need to get for our citizens to fully understand each other. And I think that we need some citizens to come help us explain to the media why this is so important. I think that the advocacy groups have been doing it, the Institute's been doing it, but we need to hear a little citizen outrage as well.
A call to the grassroots. All right, Dory Maynard, thank you so much. Dory Maynard is the president of the Robert C. Maynard Institute for Journalism. Thank you, Dory, for being here.
Thank you for having us.
And Bob Butler, thanks to you, sir.
Thank you, Jamie. Thank you, Dory.
Bob Butler, Vice President of the National Association of Black Journalists. And you can read Bob's recent column and all of Dory's columns on this and many other important topics on her website at the MIJE.org. I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer. Up next, legendary director John Sayles and his new film, Amigo.